The title is A Free People's Suicide, and while it sounds gloomy, it's actually based on a quotation by Abraham Lincoln. He said, as a nation of free men, we must either live free for all time or die by suicide. In other words, strong, free people always bring themselves down. And this is one of the lessons of freedom. The paradox of freedom is that freedom has its worst enemy, which is freedom. And the reason is that freedom requires some ordering, some restraint, and the only restraint appropriate to freedom is self-restraint. But self-restraint is precisely what's undermined when freedom flourishes. So freedom often slides down to permissiveness, license, and anarchy, and undermines itself. And you can say American freedom, a lot of Western freedom today, is unsustainable. It's all freedom from, leave me alone, etc., etc. I think that's an area where Christians and Greeks overlap, because the Greeks had this sense of hubris was not only overweening pride, it was the illusion of invulnerability. Now, you put that in Christian terms, when we succeed, it's very hard to argue against your own success. So you take, say, the rise of Christendom. That was the first consistently comprehensive Christian society. So, one of the historians of that time, he said, I set out writing the story of two kingdoms, obviously referring to St. Augustine, the city of God and the city of man. He said, I realize I'm not talking about two kingdoms, two cities, I'm talking about one kingdom, one city, Christendom. In other words, Christendom began to lack the tension which was needed of prophetic critique. And then you look what happened with Christendom. Out of Christendom came not only the great cathedrals and the great ages of faith, came the Inquisition, the slaughter of the Albigensians, the massacre of the Huguenots. Christendom produced the worst evils that the Church of Jesus has perpetrated on the world because it was, quote, so Christian, it lacked any internal prophetic critique. And we all need critics at our moments of greatest success.
Could you say that the opposite is true as well, that times such as the one that we live in now greatest danger and failure may also be ages where there is great opportunity?
You can see, even say in the business world, when people are fired and sacked, if they learn from that, they grow. And the same is true in a lot of areas of life. We learn most from our failures if we're prepared to look ourselves in the face. Now, this is true of the church in a much bigger way. You know, one of the reasons the church never goes under, however dark the hour and however corrupt the church, is that it has the seeds of its own self-renewal in the gospel. And I think there are at least two reasons. The first is that we have the doctrine of our own failure. We know, as followers of Christ, we all often go wrong. What Immanuel Kant called the crooked timber of our humanity, what the Bible calls sin. We know we're sinners. And so it's no surprise, and so we come back to Christ and put it right. Thank God the Pope, John Paul II, confessed the sins of the Catholic Church. Not enough. But Christians should be open about their wrongs and confess up to it. You know, even someone who hated the church, like Michel Foucault, he admitted that confession is radical. Because when a Christian confesses, not coerced confession, voluntary confession, we go on record against ourselves. But then confessing, we can put things right. And you can see that's one of the greatest strengths of the Christian faith. We should be open to admitting when we go wrong, because we have God's standards that judge us, but we have the possibility of grace and a second chance. Forgiveness is a most incredible thing, because one hand, it frees the past. The burden of the past is gone. It's forgiven, dismissed. On the other hand, forgiveness frees the future. So the future is opened up, and we don't drag the past like a ball and chain behind us. So there are many reasons in the Christian gospel itself so that failure never is the final word.
Why do you think, then, that confession as a practice is rarely seen nowadays in any Christian churches, including the Roman Catholic one?
Well, I think confession became a form of power and coercion. Whether it was public, like, say, communist forced conversions and people having to confess in front of a whole group, or whether it was personal, say in the confessional box. And one knows that any confession that is forced, individual or collective, is very, very dangerous, because it controls the conscience. Confession has to be free, and it has to be forgiving. Once someone's confessed, they are freed to go on, and the past is not held against them. And I love the fact that in Scripture it says in the Psalms that as far as the east is from the west, when God forgives us, that's how far our sins from us. He forgives and for all intents and purposes totally forgets. It's harder for us to do that as humans, but God forgives and forgets.